And they wanted to decorate with old flowers. What's nicer, old flowers or new, fresh flowers?
New!
What's nicer, real flowers or phony flowers?
New!
There's nothing worse than phony flowers. The Jews wanted to decorate with phony flowers. Well, we want to put new flowers. Put the Jews in the flower. Put my friends in the flower stores. Now, they expected that the king should read this letter and at the end of the letter agree to throw the Jews out of Frankfurt. And of course, Vincent Fetmilch and his friends would take over. In Kenilach, King Matthias got this letter, but he got very upset because he knew that this was a lie. This was not a real accusation. And besides, he knew that the Jews paid plenty of tax money. They paid plenty of money to the king, whoever the king was before Matthias. And he knows that when he's going to be coronated the king, he'll also get plenty of money from the Jews. Does he want to throw them out of the stores? No. Does he want to throw them out of Frankfurt? No. He knows the Jews are good citizens. And so he sends Vincent Fetmilch, a letter back. Dear Vincent, this letter is baloney. Do not write me again. I will not hear of it. The Jews are good people, loyal subjects. They pay taxes. They take care of their homes and stores. And therefore, I will not do what you say. Signed, King Matthias. P.S. I expect a nice party anyway, even though you don't get your way. And the king stamps it and signs it and seals it and does all the stuff the king does on a special letter. And now the letter is sent to Vincent Fetmilch. Tomorrow, Meretz Hashem. Now the lunchroom was very beautiful today. Excellent. Out of respect for this chocolate from Eretz Yisrael, no doubt. And therefore, here's the winner. Maybe tomorrow we will have another chocolate from Eretz Yisrael. And I expect, hopefully, the lunchroom will be so nice and beautiful, even earlier than today. And so we can go on and finish the story. It is so exciting. And remember, it has a very yucky ending. I did not decide to tell it to you. Who will not tell it to their mommy or sisters because it's too yucky if I tell the yucky ending? They'll get upset. They'll say, why does Rabbi Bryson say such yucky stories? It's very yucky. Or maybe I shouldn't tell you while you're eating. It's too yucky. Who wants to hear the yucky ending? It's really yucky. Okay, you see this candy bar? We're having a contest between you and me. If you win it, you get it. If you don't win it, I get it. Okay, I'm going to stand up on the bench. Who sees the candy bar? All right. Now, if you want it, you have to win me. You have to be quiet. You have to listen. Then you could win this. If not, I will lean at her at the end of story time, take off the wrapper, make the appropriate bracha, and eat it while everybody is watching. Okay. However, I hope you win it, because it wouldn't be so nice if I would eat it in front of everybody. But that's what I'm going to do if you don't win it. You all have the same chance to win it. Today, I want to finish the story of Vincent Fetmilch. And remember, It is the yuckiest ending you could imagine. And I don't know if I'll tell you unless you're listening to the rest. Shh. And in case I choose to tell you the yucky ending, remember, you're not allowed to tell your mother or your sister, only your brother or tati or your uncle. But if the ladies or the mommies hear the yucky ending, they will not let you listen to my stories anymore. And of course, maybe I won't tell you the yucky ending because I'll think it's too yucky for you to hear. Shh. By the way, who's interested to hear the yucky ending? Put one finger up. Now, you'll see why later I said to put up one finger. This is not just a funny thing to do. This has to do with the yucky ending. Put one finger up in the air. Okay. Whoever did that will better understand the yucky ending. Okay, now put your hands down. Vincent Fetmilch. Now again, the correct pronunciation is probably Fetmilch. But since the ch doesn't come off so good, and it sounds really, you know, it just sounds right with Fetmilch. So I'm using Fetmilch. Okay, now, our friend Vincent, no, he's not our friend. We want to be friends. Al tischaber l'rasha. Don't be friends with the rasha. Shh. We don't want to be his friend. He got a letter from the king, King Matthias, saying, you're not allowed to throw the Jews out of Frankfurt because I like the Jews, because they pay me a lot of money for taxes. And if your friends are taking over the stores and the businesses, I don't think I'm going to get so much taxes. So in other words, the money makes the Jews the friends of the king. However, when Vincent Fetmilch received the letter, he had already gone through most of a bottle of Moshka. And he was not in the mood to hear the answer no. What does Vincent Fetmilch want to hear the answer when he wants to do something? What answer does Vincent Fetmilch want to hear when he wants to do something?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Not no. And he opens up now the letter from the king. And his friends were also there going through a few bottles of Moshka and whiskey and stuff like that. And Vincent Fetmilch reads the letter of King Matthias. What? I have to let the Jews stay in Frankfurt? Oh, no. 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 I disagree with the king. I have to drive them out, and my friends will take over the stores. Now, if a person is in his right mind, does he disagree with the king? Or he might get himself into gigantic trouble disagreeing with the king. Well, Vincent Fetmilch was so full of his own ego, his own metzias, and of course he's shikker, or half shikker. I mean, he drank a half a bottle of Moshka. I guess he's half shikker. When he drinks more, he's going to get all shikker. He even is not listening to the king. And he drinks some more Moshka because he goes on reading the letter. Let the Jews stay in Frankfurt and your friends should not be in the businesses. Oh no, this king, I don't like this king. And he drinks the whole bottle of Moshka. How shikker is he now? Half shikker or all shikker? Oh boy. And he drinks some more and he finishes reading the letter and he says to his friends, forget about the king. Let's go and make trouble in the Jewish neighborhood. And now, Kinalach, Vincent Fetmilch and his drunken mob, they picked up big sticks and they go into the Jewish neighborhood and they start making, unfortunately, terrible trouble. And they're doing all kinds of not good things. And they're chasing the Jews out of their houses and out of their stores. And they're even breaking windows. And they're going inside and they're taking whatever they want. And the Yidden now are running away because they're outnumbered. and they run out of the city of Frankfurt until Vincent Fetmilch chased out every single Yid, tatis and mommies and children. And now they go into the houses and they eat up everything, and they take everything, and they go into the stores and they take over the stores and the businesses. Now, Kinnelach, the people of Frankfurt that were still there, as I told you, also the mayor, they saw what Vincent Fetmilch did with his drunken mob, but they were afraid to start up with Vincent Fetmilch. But they ran to tell the king Matthias what had happened, because they said, we can't start up with Vincent Fetmilch, but the king has a strong army. The king's army could do it. And the messengers run to the palace of King Matthias. Now, again, he was a new king who was not coronated yet. He's supposed to get his crown in the city of Frankfurt. But he's still in position of power. I don't know exactly how these things work, but he was already the leader even before his coronation. Like the president, he becomes president and he becomes inaugurated later. All right, whatever it is. Now, King Matthias now gets the emergency trumpets. Beep, 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 beep. Messengers from Frankfurt are here to report an emergency situation in Frankfurt. And they go into the king and they tell him, Vincent Fetmilch has chased out every Jew from Frankfurt together with his drunken mob. And King Matthias said, what? I just sent him a letter saying he should not do any such thing to the Jews. And he did it anyway. This is treason. What's treason? A lot of trees? What's treason? You know what treason is? Oh, here's a boy that knows what treason is. What's treason?
Trouble.
What exactly is treason? Not trees. We know what trees are. What's treason?
Trouble.
Okay, when you do against the king, that's called treason. Okay, let's just finish because it's a yucky ending. I don't want to leave it for tomorrow. The king now got very angry. We know his face turned red like a tomato, but we don't have time to say the whole thing with all the whole lunchroom joining in, so I'll just say it. And he got his biggest army, his best soldiers. And now they make an emergency to Frankfurt. And they go now into the Jewish neighborhood. They catch Vincent Fetmilch and his drunken mob. And they sentence Vincent Fetmilch to be tried for crimes against the king. And the Jews were let back to their neighborhood. And now we get to the yucky ending. I'll say it real fast. You're lucky I don't elaborate on these things. Vincent Fetmilch was sentenced to not only die, but, now again, the mommies and the sisters hate this. They don't like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the story. Why should I change the story? Should I change the story or I tell you exactly what the story says? Okay. The king said, his head will be removed, surgically cut off. His head will be chopped off. Not only his head has to be chopped off, in order to show that nobody starts up against the king, because starting up against the Jews was like starting up against the King Matthias. Remember those long sticks that the drunken mob used to make trouble in the Jewish neighborhood? Okay. They had to put his head on the top of one of those long sticks and make a parade around the whole Frankfurt to show that nobody starts up with the king. And everybody had to be in the parade. And any damage that was caused to the Jewish neighborhood, Vincent Fetmilch and his friends had to pay for it. They had to sell everything they had or work or whatever it was, so they paid for it. Vincent Fetmilch's house was burned down and his family was thrown out of Frankfurt, and the Jews were well taken care of. And this happened on Chaf Adar, the 20th day of Adar. And to this day in Frankfurt, there's a fast day on Yud Tes Adar of the Jews of Frankfurt, and they have a special Simcha and a Yontif, the 20th day of Adar. And if you go there, I'm sure you'll have that Simcha and maybe have Frankfurters or maybe hamburgers or whatever. And whatever happened to the stick in the head, I don't know. Oh, the winner, yes. The winner is Rabbi Burstyn. No. The winner of this particular candy bar was over here, let's see. There was a chosid of the Alter Rebbe. Let's call his name Reb Beryl, even though in this story there was no name. Reb Beryl was a businessman. He travels and he comes home. He goes to do business and hopefully he'll make money and bring it home to his family. He goes away on a Tuesday and comes back for Shabbos. Or maybe he leaves on a Sunday and comes back Monday. Or maybe he goes away for a week or 2 weeks. This is the way it goes by a businessman. He travels around and he goes places. One time, Reb Beryl went to the Alter Rebbe for a bracha. And the Alter Rebbe told Beryl these words. Listen closely. Shh. Beryl, wherever you go, no matter how short a trip or for a long trip, always take with you Lechem Mishneh. Now, what is Lechem Mishneh? What is that? What's Lechem Mishneh?
Bread where you say two challahs on Shabbos.
Very good. Two challahs for Shabbos. On the table Friday night, we don't just have one challah, we have two challahs. That's called Lechem Mishneh. Now, Shabbos by day, also we have Lechem Mishneh, two challahs. And those people that wash for Challah Shittis, the third meal on Shabbos, also would have two challahs. Now, the Alter Rebbe told Beryl, always take with you Lechem Mishneh. Wherever you go, no matter how short a trip, always take with you Lechem Mishneh. Now, of course, Kenalag Beryl does not know why exactly the Alter Rebbe is telling them this. But, of course, being a chassid, he will do this. Now, the next time Beryl went on a trip, he left on a Sunday, and he's going to come back the next day. He will not be away for Shabbos. He'll be home for Shabbos. At least as far as his plans go. What do you think Beryl is going to take with him on Sunday and bring back with him on Monday?
Money.
Money? He'll take some money along. What else?
Lechem Mishneh.
Lechem Mishneh. And of course, a person looking at him carrying the challahs would ask, why are you taking challahs? You're not going to be away for Shabbos. But of course, why was he taking the challahs with him? Because why?
Because the Alter Rebbe said.
Because the Alter Rebbe said. I do not know if he took two challahs or four challahs or six challahs, but he definitely took Lechem Mishneh, at least two challahs. Shh. Now, this went on for a year. This went on for 2 years, and this went on for 3 years, always taking with him Lechem Mishneh. Now, Kenalach, Reb Beryl never used these Lechem Mishnehs during the week. He just carried them around with him. By the time Shabbos came, his wife probably baked new challahs. One day, it was Erev Shabbos in the morning. Reb Beryl was returning home from a business trip. And of course, What was he carrying with him coming home from his business trip, besides hopefully the money that he made?
Lechem Mishneh.
Lechem Mishneh. All of a sudden, out of the forest, from behind a tree, came a big, scary, strong robber. And he says, "Stick him up. Give me your money." Now, of course, Reb Beryl was carrying a lot of money that he had made on his business trip. The money for his family and to give for tzedakah. But he had no choice because this robber had swords and knives and weapons and all kinds of things. And, of course, Reb Beryl would rather give up the money than chas v'shalom his life. And he says, "Take the money. Let me go to my family." But the robber said, "No, you're coming with me." And he now takes Beryl off the road and he makes him go in the forest. And he takes him very, very deep into the forest to his hideout, a secret robber hideout. And he makes him to go inside, and it's under the ground. And now, Kinalach, the robber says, "Prepare for your last minute in the world, because I'm not going to let you go. You can figure out what he wants to do, chas v'shalom, to Reb Beryl." And Beryl starts to say Shema Yisrael, to daven to Hashem. Of course, he was davening to Hashem the whole time to help him. And he sees in this robber hideout many, many things that this robber had stolen from people. It was full like a treasure house in there. Kinalach, all of a sudden, Reb Beryl got an idea. He says to the robber, "Look, I'm anyway in the middle of the forest and I can't escape. Even robbers have such rules, like giving a last wish to the ones they catch. I would like one last wish, and that is this. Tonight is Shabbos, and tomorrow is Shabbos. Let me keep one last Shabbos, and then do whatever you have to do. I would like you to let me go, because there's no reason to chas v'shalom do anything terrible to me, but at least let me keep one last Shabbos." And the robber laughed, "Ha ha, one last Shabbos. Well, I'll let you have one last Shabbos. And then, after your Shabbos, that's it. But I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to go robbing. And I'm going to leave my big dog, and he will watch you." And all of a sudden, this robber brings a very big, scary-looking dog. It looked more like a wolf than a dog. Boy, was it big, and boy, was it scary. And he says, "This dog is trained to be very mean. If you try to escape from here, he will get you, and I won't have to do anything, because he knows how to finish off my victims. And if you just stay here and don't try to escape, he will leave you alone, and I will come back on Saturday night, and I'll finish the job. So, I'll leave my dog. He will guard you, take care of you, until I take care of you. But remember, don't try to escape, or else you will be finished before your Shabbos ends." And the robber laughed, and he left the secret hideout. And now the Yid is there, Reb Beryl. And it becomes Friday night. Well, he had a sitter, and he could daven. After davening, of course, his davening was more like a Yom Kippur davening, because he knows it's the last time he'll daven Friday night davening. He died with tears. He asked Hashem to help him. And then it's time for Kiddush. Did he have wine there? No. But in case you don't have wine, according to Halacha, you're allowed to make Kiddush on Chalas. Did he have Chalas? Yes, he had Lechem Mishneh for Shabbos. He had some water, and he washed. He did the Kiddush on the Chalas, and he made a Moitzi. Now, he was very, very sad and upset. He could not eat too much. So he ate a little bit of the challah, enough to be able to bench. And he looks at the dog, and he thought to himself, I'm going to give also some of my challah to that dog. And he tore off a piece of challah, and he threw it to the dog. And that doggy ate up that challah so quick. Oh, he liked that challah. The doggy ate the piece of challah. Well, Ribeiro went to sleep in that robber place. And in the morning again, he davened Shachris. And he davened Musaf. And he made Kiddush again on the challahs. And he gave a piece of the challah to the dog. And the dog ate it up. And later on, he had Shalashidis, the third meal. And he also gave a piece of challah to the dog. And then Shabbos was over. Beryl's last Shabbos. He had sung a few nigunim and davened as well as he could. And now after Shabbos, the robber came back into the robber place. Ah, the robber laughs. Here you are. And say goodbye, because now you will die. But why should I have to work so hard? My poor dog, the whole time is here with you without too much to do, so I'll let him do it. And all of a sudden now, the robber says a word that those people that know about dangerous dogs know in Russia. The robber screams, Bream! Now everybody knows what Bream is, right? Okay, Bream is the word that a person in Russia tells a dog if he wants him to attack. Bream! The robber is telling the dog to attack Ribeiro. And that big doggy with those big teeth all of a sudden did nothing. He just stood there. And the robber screams at the dog, Bream! And the doggy looks at the robber, he looks at Beryl, and he doesn't attack. And the robber scratches his head. I don't understand. Whenever I command this dog to attack, he attacks. And he tries it again. Bream! All of a sudden, Beryl thought to himself, why should I go through this again? Let me help the dog out. And Red Beryl says, Bream! And all of a sudden, the dog attacks. But he didn't attack Beryl. You know who the doggy attacked? He attacked the robber. The dog attacked the robber. And that was the end of the robber. And that's also the end of the story.